This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Sickle cell disease is a painful, debilitating, and potentially fatal disease that affects more than 100,000 Americans. It's caused by a mutation in a single gene. And for decades, a sickle cell diagnosis meant certain suffering for patients who are mostly of African descent. But now, advances in gene therapy have come far enough that some scientists are daring to wonder if a cure may be on the horizon. And joining us now from Boston is Dr. David Williams. He's leading one of the current major clinical trials treating sickle cell disease. He's the president of the Cancer and Blood Disorders Center at the Dana-Farber and Boston Children's Hospital. Dr. Williams, welcome to On Point.
Oh, thank you, Meghna. It's great to be here.
It's great
really a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it's great to have you, too. But first of all, let me also introduce Manny Johnson, joining us today from Boston as well. Manny's the first patient to undergo treatment in one of these clinical trials that Dr. Williams is leading. Manny, it's great to have you. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Okay, so Manny, let me start with you. How old were you when you first got the diagnosis of sickle cell disease?
At birth.
Okay. And how old are you now, if I may ask?
21.
So you've had it for your entire life. And what has that experience been like? How hard has it been to live with sickle cell disease?
It was rather difficult, but, you know, everybody shares it differently.
I mean, what have some of your symptoms been?
Pain crisis, you know. Couldn't walk very far. Pains in the joints, migraines, very frequent, you know, and just unable to do a lot of physical activity.
Yeah, so pretty debilitating. I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of sickle cell disease. And we'll talk about what exactly is going on in the body in just a minute here. But Manny Johnson, you're the first patient to undergo treatment in the gene therapy clinical trials that Dr. David Williams is working on. So what's changed for you since you started these clinical trials?
Everything. I feel reformed, you know. I don't have the same, you know, bodily damage, I guess is what I would call it. You know, I feel natural. Like, I don't have to go to the hospital anymore, or at least not as often is what I would say.
So is it fair to say that you're no longer showing symptoms of sickle or experiencing symptoms of sickle cell disease?
Indeed.
How huge is that for you?
It's great, you know.
I mean, it sounds like a total transformation. I mean, Dr. David Williams, let me turn back to you. Describe to us how significant it is that someone like Manny, who's lived with sickle cell disease for his entire life, is now telling us he's symptom free.
Well, I think it's a sign that all the basic research that we've been doing for a number of years looks like successfully been translated into a very effective therapy. So Manny has been on once a month red blood cell transfusion since around the age of 4, when he actually had a stroke, which is common in children with sickle cell disease. So for him, he's no longer requiring blood transfusions at all. And as he said to you, he's no longer having symptoms of sickle cell disease. So for me, what's remarkable is 30 years ago, when I first started my training in sickle cell disease, to now, we've basically not changed very much what we do for patients with sickle cell disease. We still treat them, their pain crisis, with heavy pain medicines. Some patients like Manny go on blood transfusions, which has its own problems and risk. And we do use a drug called hydroxyurea. The purpose of that drug is to elevate the fetal hemoglobin in a sickle cell patient's blood. And that's effective in some patients, but not in all patients.
Right.
So it's a remarkable, for those of us in the field, it's a remarkable opportunity, we think, to really make a difference in some patients' lives with sickle cell disease.
Well, let me just take a moment here and remind folks that we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we want to hear from people out there. If you are suffering from sickle cell disease, or someone in your family or someone you know, and you know what your questions are for example, Dr. David Williams or Manny Johnson, about this new research, this gene therapy-based research that many researchers are quite excited about, is a transformational way possibly to treat this terrible disease, sickle cell disease. Again, we're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Dr. Williams, let me just ask you, so just to remind folks, so sickle cell disease is so debilitating because it directly affects, this one gene mutation directly affects the health and formation of red blood cells in the body. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It has sort of biologically, there's two major parts of the disease. One is the red cells are misshapen, and therefore they don't live long enough in the bloodstream, doesn't live as long as a normal red cell. And that causes those cells to be constantly broken down, and the person is almost always anemic. And then the second part that's even more debilitating for most patients, as Manny has already expressed, is those misshapen cells occlude the small blood vessels that give oxygen to all your vital organs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can think about a person essentially having a heart attack, patients with sickle cell disease have that kind of pain throughout their body.
Wow.
It's called vaso-occlusion. And that, over time, of course, creates chronic damage to those organs from lack of oxygen, and that leads to lots of chronic problems in organs such as the kidneys, the eyes, the bones, in particular the lungs. And so these are the debilitating parts of the disease over a long period of time that we're trying to develop a way to prevent these chronic complications.
Right. Okay. So it is a genetic disease. There's a mutation in a gene for people who suffer from sickle cell disease. And now, I mean, let's talk about the gene therapy that's in these clinical trials. What exactly is the gene therapy doing in the bodies of patients like Manny?
Yeah, it's really very cool. So when you're a baby in your mother's womb, your body knows to make a certain kind of hemoglobin molecule called fetal hemoglobin. And when you're born, the body knows to quit making that form of hemoglobin and start making an adult form of hemoglobin called adult hemoglobin. And the reason that that's so critical for sickle cell patients is that the mutation causing the disease is on the adult globin gene, not on the fetal globin gene. And so basic research has gone over now for 40 years has tried to understand what we call that switch, a switch from fetal to adult hemoglobin. And researchers here at Children's, Vijay Sankaran and Stu Workin, discovered several years ago the basis of that. And what we've done for the gene therapy trial is develop a virus that instructs the cells to flip the switch back to a fetal globin. And so that simultaneously gets rid of or reduces a large portion of the sickle globin that causes the problem. And at the same time, the fetal hemoglobin is quite protective to the sickling process. Mm. And so it's a sort of a rheostat that works in the favor of the patient both ways,
yeah,
increasing the fetal hemoglobin and reducing the sickle hemoglobin.
So Manny Johnson, let me turn back to you here for a moment. After you began this gene therapy, how quickly did you see a difference in your life?
I would say within the next 2 to 3 months, you know, after I started re-eating and stuff like that, because during the chemo, you know, I lost my taste buds and I had to relearn to eat. Couldn't eat like solid food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't nothing fast. Like, it's a long-term thing.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, it just, everything is coming one by one.
Right.
You know?
Well, so Dr. Williams, I mean, I take Manny's point that, you know, it's step by step, but 2 to 3 months also, you know, to my ears sounds relatively quick.
Well, the process of doing the gene therapy includes giving the recipient what we call conditioning, which is a way to get rid of their old bone marrow cells.
Got it.
And then give them back the new genetically altered or gene therapy transduced or modified cells. And it takes those cells somewhere between a month and 3 months to actually take over the bone marrow and start producing healthy blood cells.
Yeah.
And so Manny had one, as I recall, Manny, you had one blood transfusion after you had your stem cell transplant with the new cells. And since that time, he's had no additional blood transfusions, and he's maintaining a normal hemoglobin level for an adult, a young adult person.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we look at those blood smears under the microscope, we don't see any sickle cells or very few. So I think that also recapitulates his own symptomology, which is that he's not having any symptoms of sickle cell disease. What we don't know yet, and that's why it's a clinical trial, is we predict that this should be long-term, but we have to follow a number of patients long-term to see, to make sure, you know, that this is a permanent cure, if you will, or a long-term cure.
I mean, so that just, let's cut right to the chase. We started this segment by saying that some researchers are daring to wonder if a cure is on the horizon. I mean, I'm seeing a quote in the New York Times from Dr. Edward Benz, a medical professor at Harvard, who says, if so, it would be the first genetic cure of a common genetic disease. Are we close to that?
Well, I think we are close to that. So in the gene therapy field, we have now a number of rare gene mutation diseases where it looks like this approach of gene therapy actually permanently corrects the individual's symptomology. So while Manny is now 7 to 8 months since his infusion, so that's still pretty early, the way we're doing it would be predicted to be long-term. And at the level that Manny's had a resolution of his symptoms, I think he would agree. It feels like a cure to him.
Yeah.
We always, as you can imagine, doctors always hate to use the word cure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it suggests that we can predict the future, which we can't. But we're optimistic that this is really going to be beneficial in the long term for patients like Manny.
Yeah. Well, let me just take a quick call here. Let's go to Jared, who's calling from Smithville, Virginia. Jared, you're on the air. What's your question for Dr. Williams or Manny Johnson?
Hi, Dr. Williams. So I have sickle cell, and I wanted to know when these treatments or, you know, these prospective treatments pass the clinical trials, what will the effort in standardizing the treatment for patients with sickle cell look like? It's been my experience from, you know, traveling from Virginia to Michigan for grad school, and the consistency of the treatment it does not match. And I wanted to know, what would that look like?
Well, it's a great, great question. So one of the areas that we, the National Institutes of Health and American Society of Hematology, among others, are working on is to try to make the treatments for patients with sickle cell disease more uniform across the country. And I think it's a great problem. And this particular clinical trial that we're talking about, because it's a clinical trial, it has to be done very, very strictly. But when it becomes a more uniform therapy, it'll have the same challenges, that we'll want to educate doctors and care providers around the country about the uniformly how to treat the disease in the most proven way. And so you've hit upon a really important point that we, all of us in the field that take care of sickle cell patients, understand is a real challenge for patients with the disease. As they go from one provider to the next, the standard of therapies is often quite variable.
Yeah. Dr. Williams, one quick question here. So, I mean, if it becomes a uniform or more widely available treatment coming out of clinical trial, how far are we from that? 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, I think there's several of these trials going on. The one we're doing is unique in the way we're doing it, but there are other gene therapy trials going on in sickle cell disease, and they're also showing very good results. And so the prediction would be somewhere in the range before 5 years. Probably there'll be enough data gathered that the Food and Drug Administration would look at this as a registered therapy, basically.
Yeah.
So I think within 5 years is my prediction, although I don't have a crystal ball, but I think the pace of these trials and the aspects of how well they're working would predict that this could happen fairly quickly, basically.
This sounds like a sea change in treatment for a disease that has so powerfully affected the lives of so many people for so long. I mean, Manny Johnson, we've just got about 30 seconds left here. Are there other members of your family who suffer from sickle cell, and what impact do you think this research might have on them?
My little brother has sickle cell. He's like 7. And so far, he hasn't had a blood transfusion. You know, the technology has been able to keep him from out of there. But mostly, I don't know. I think he's all right so far. I prefer him not to go through what I do. Hopefully, when he gets old enough to make the decision for himself, he can have a better solution than I did.
Yeah, and maybe because of this research, he'll never have to go through what you've been through. Well, Manny Johnson, the first patient to participate in one of the clinical trials using gene therapy to treat sickle cell disease. Manny Johnson, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Appreciate you guys.
And Dr. David Williams, leading one of these clinical trials. He's the president of the Cancer and Blood Disorders Center at Dana-Farber and Boston Children's Hospital. Dr. Williams, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having us. I really appreciate the chance to talk to you, Meghna.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.